Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Oh, Becky, you're welcome. Elder Bless is here. Pastor Dennis is here too. And we have Elder Bismarck in the house too. Hallelujah. It's not easy. Hallelujah. All right. I hope we are blessed last week. All right. Let's read. Are you with me now? We're moving. Can I have your attention now? Can we read together? Let's go, Hey, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Or they do 18. Why would we be giving them tongues and tassels this morning? Be spiritual. Hallelujah. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Acts chapter 6, verse 2 to 4. Acts chapter 6, verse 2 to 4. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Isaiah 56, verse 7, our last reading. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice shall be accepted upon my altar. For my house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. So God is saying that whenever you see his house, the only name you can call the house is a house of what? So we have Kent City. Mention some of the buildings you see around there. You know, we have these estates. We have Villaggio. Is that not it? And whenever you go, you see the building of a Villaggio, you know, even if it's in Edwejiri, and you go there, you see the structure. No, this is a structure by Villaggio. God is saying that wherever you go, as long as my house is there, either. The only thing you see for that house, the name of the house is a house of what? Prayer. So where God lives, if you be autonomous, if you need in the house of prayer, they will say in that house is prayer. Hallelujah. Today we want to continue, and today's message title is, can you give us the message title? Connected to souls, remaining in relationship, effective in purpose. Hallelujah. Now, the focus of our build-up upon this year's direction, which is teach us to pray, the first focus is that men ought to pray. So last week, we discovered that prayer is a kingdom mystery. I hope you are here last week. Because in Matthew chapter 13, we found out that mystery is parable, where God's or was Jesus' mechanism to communicate mysteries. And I explain mystery by definition as the precious, priceless knowledge of the kingdom of God and the operations of the kingdom. Precious, priceless knowledge of the kingdom of God and the operations of the kingdom. So we found out that Jesus couldn't give out these precious, priceless things to the people at that time because he said they don't have the capacity to have it. So the only way he could present it to them as far as the kingdom of God was concerned was using parables. And if we study the account of Jesus' teaching in the book of Luke chapter 18, we found out that when he came to prayer, he presented prayer as a parable. In other words, we found out that prayer is a mystery, a priceless, precious commodity or knowledge that is hidden for us. And therefore, whenever we want to attempt the concept of prayer, the understanding we need to carry with us is that we are in to receive mysteries of the kingdom and operations of the kingdom that is hidden. Because you see, mysteries, okay, let me dwell here a little. You know, the occult are people who like using the word mysteries, right? And it means secret. The word, another way to use the word, define mystery means secret. Okay? And secrets are not told to everybody. You don't know my secrets. Maybe except my wife and my best friend. Yeah. And yes, it's true. You don't know some. You don't know how I get anointed. She knows. You don't know. It's true. It's a mystery. It's a mystery to you that I'll come here every Sunday and it's a mystery. Is it not a mystery? It's a mystery that Daddy Joe will keep preaching every day. And anytime you preach, it looks like you have not read the Bible. You have to go, always making us feel like we don't read the Bible. We don't know anything in the Bible. Is that not a mystery? But the wife knows what the wife has said. So mysteries are secrets. Are you with me? It's not everybody we share secrets with. It's not everybody who knows our secret. So the recipe for Coca-Cola till today, you don't know. Do you? Pepsi tried. Pepsi really, really tried. Didn't Pepsi try? KFC till today. The mystery of some people's, the wealth of some people are still mystery. See, today people are asking, how did Despite God so rich like that? By selling CDs. You go and try it. You go and try and sell CD. Go. Go to Cantamanto. Are you there? Try. You try it and let's see. You find out that it is not to whom. Hey, hallelujah. Amen. So mysteries are secrets. So when Jesus was trying to reveal the secrets of the kingdom, he found out that people didn't have capacity to handle secrets. You know, there are some people you can't share secrets with them. You know that. Because by the time you realize, they don't have capacity to keep it. If you tell, for example, if Osofo tells you the secret of his business, in the next 4 days, 10 people hear about it. But he will tell some people the secret of their business and nobody knows about it. And those people rise with that secret. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, there are certain things I've learned from Daddy Joe that is secret that you will not notice if you're not attentive to his messages. And I'll not tell you. Go and find out yourself because it is my secret now. I'm also using it. So Jesus didn't want to. See, the secret of the kingdom is not hidden from you. It is hidden for you. Are you getting it? But it takes capacity to what? Receive it. So when you reach that capacity, then it is given to you. It's called the clearance level. If you go to military or any security system or even in companies, we have what's called the clearance level. We have level 1, 2, 3 and above. Is that not it? So each level has some level of secrecy of the company you don't know. So as you go up, you come to certain level of what? Secrets. Do you know we have secret service in this country? Do you know there are operations that are done in this country that it's only the president and some few people who knows? But as you climb up, secrets are open to you. So kingdom secrets are not kept from you. They are kept for you. That your capacity will grow to receive them. And one of them is prayer. Because Jesus presented the kingdom secrets through parables. And when it came to prayer, he presented prayer as a parable. Maybe you know, say, Pastor, is it true? Let's read Luke chapter 18 so that you will see if prayer is also part of the kingdom secret. Now, let's read Luke chapter 18. It's our sub-series that we are taking now. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. That what? Men ought always to what? So the kingdom secret here was men have to pray always. And he has to present it to them in a parable. So people don't understand why we pray all the time. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Sunday school. You read your Bible. Those who didn't go to Sunday school. Hallelujah. So we Jesus was trying. It's a kingdom secret. Hallelujah. So last week, we started that. Why did Jesus make that statement? Men always ought to pray. It's a kingdom secret. So the foundation we are laying in our journey of teachers to pray is first of all to discover the mysteries of prayer. And last week, I spoke about one mystery of prayer, that prayer is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to pray. And I gave 3 big bills about prayer. Do you remember? Hallelujah. You remember that? Oh, you are not here. You get access to the message. Don't worry. If you are not here, you get access to the message. But I'll give you a little of it. One of the big deals about prayer is that no religion can be perfectly practiced without prayer. No religion. You see, the Christianity has an element of religion in it. And one of the ways to satisfy the religious state, the religious nature of Christianity, is that prayer becomes a habit. And I spoke so deeply that there's no perfection, no one can attain perfection in their belief without prayer. That is why the fundamental unit of all religion is what? Prayer. That's why it's a big deal. It's a mystery. Doesn't matter what you do in the Christian, this Christian practice, if you take prayer out of it, it's zero. You cannot attain perfection. Hallelujah. Amen. That was one of the... And the second one I mentioned is that, who remember the second one? That an unanswered prayer is one of the big deals why we have to what? Understudy prayer. And I spoke about how unanswered prayer can. Do you know that because of people's prayer which has not answered, they are rebellious against God now? Yes. Today we have a lot to talk about. Let me. So, today we want to uncover another mystery which I entitled Connected to Source, Remaining in Relationship and Effective in Purpose. As a reason why men ought to pray. Reasons why we ought to pray, one of the mysteries is that we have to stay connected to source. Remain in relationship, effective in what? In purpose. So, today's message is to practically uncover the genesis of prayer. The genesis of prayer, which is one of the great mysteries hidden for us. Many people don't know the genesis, the foundation, the beginning of prayer. So, we take prayer lightly. Today, I want to help you to appreciate the genesis of prayer. Can we take a word? Father, as your word comes to us, let it come with might and strength in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now let's begin. There is a level of misrepresentation about things in the kingdom, a lot of things in the kingdom. One of it is prayer. And prayer is generally defined in our contemporary. Okay, one of the misrepresentation is the definition we have assumed to prayer. And one of the definitions we have given to prayer in our contemporary is this, that prayer started after the fall of Adam. People think that, or we are being taught, or we have this notion that prayer actually started after the fall of Adam. We will, at the end of today's study, we will find out whether it is true or not. Number two, prayer is asking God to meet our needs. That is the concept or the idea our generation have painted about prayer. Another thing is that prayer is dealing with some evil power, which is witchcraft. That is all about prayer. So there's some school of thought that when we say we are going to pray, all they have in mind is that today's devil go hear pepper. Devil go smell pepper. Ash. Hallelujah. So our prayer gatherings are most defined, especially in this our African setting, with topics like breakthroughs, breaking altars, binding witches, visa miracles. Because the ideology we have about prayer, the representation we have about prayer, is that we think that prayer is what I've mentioned. Hallelujah. And do you know why? This is one of the dangers in the things of God. In as much as these things I've mentioned are parts or are subsects within the prayer, one thing about Christianity is that we can take a unit out of a subset or a whole sect, then we will magnify it to represent the entire. Are you with me? Should I give an example? I should give you an example of taking something out of context, magnify it to represent the whole thing. One of them is sonship and fathership in the kingdom. Spiritual fatherhood. Do you know that in our generation, spiritual fatherhood is sowing seeds? Then father will pour anointing on your head. How many of you know that? Do you know that? Do you have a father? You have a spiritual father? Some of you. I'll deal with you. You have not been faithful sons. You don't bring seed. And they use this scripture, venison. Oh, Esau. prepare venison for me that I may eat and bless you. Hallelujah. So some of you are already starting that. Hey, Paul, I'm watching you. If you have started receiving venison on campus, hallelujah. But spiritual fatherhood is not so. It's one of the elements that you can bless your father. Paul said, if we are so into you spiritual things, are we not supposed to receive material things from you? So one of the transactions of spiritual fatherhood or shepherding is that the sheep, if being blessed, should God think about the shepherd and give to the shepherd. But you know, we have taken just that aspect and we have magnified it, oh Lord. So if we talk about spiritual father, if somebody comes and says, I want you to be my father, hi, we look at how much do you have. Do you know there are some men of God in this country, they can't father you. You thank God for that, Joe. There are some men of God in this country that if you go, I said, I prayed and God told me that I should come and submit to you. The first question is, to what extent can your bank account speak? For you to be accepted as a son, we have to see the kind of car you came to park. Now, what betimes you went to draw through? Even the prayer committee guys, none of them will even accept you. Are you with me? So it's one of the things, and prayer is one of them. So we have taken one unit of prayer or some very individual units of prayer, then we have magnified to represent the concept of prayer. Now, this has made it one of the key reasons why we are having issues with prayer. Now, do you know that whenever we talk about prayer, and these few questions are posted or asked concerning the concept of prayer, we find ourselves wanting. Now, let's answer those questions. Number one. Why should we pray to God when God already, number one, knows everything? When God knows everything, why should we pray? Abi said we should pray, right? And the way you taught us prayer is, so if God knows that the devil keep, why should I still? Number two, God controls everything. He has the whole, let me give you scriptures. You think, John chapter 21 verse 17, Peter told Jesus, you know everything. Hebrews 4 verse 13, 1 John chapter 3 verse 20. All these scriptures talk about God knowing everything. So if God, it's not that they are just, the Bible says that God knows everything. So if he knows everything, why should we pray? Number two, God controls everything. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 7 to 9. Proverbs 16 33. God controls everything. So if God is controlling everything, why should we? You answer that question today. You will answer it. The reason why we have no respect for prayer is because these reality check questions, you have not been asked. So you see, when you start asking people these questions, then they begin to see, then the way they taught us prayer is not relevant anymore. You see why people blame God? I've given you two, three. God predetermines everything. Romans chapter 8 verse 28 to 30. He said, for those that he foreknew, what he predestined and predetermined. So do you understand the word predetermined? God has already decided. So if God has already decided that today I'll get 100 Ghana cedis, why should I still pray about it? Are we there? You said prayer is asking God for needs. Is that not it? Killing witches. So we are going to use it to answer these questions. Number 10, God has not changed. Why should you pray to somebody whose mind is already made up? Are we seeing the question? So why should we pray to somebody whose mind is already made up? Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. Is that because I don't change? That's why you, the children of Jacob, you are not dead. Malachi 3 6. So if God has not changed, do you think you, are you with me now? Are you with me now? So do you think that the orientation of our prayer can answer these questions that I've asked right now? Can it answer it? No. Because if God knows everything, then he's a very wicked person to see that harm is coming to me and refuse not to touch it. It's true. If God knows everything, God should know that tomorrow by this time, somebody, like Caesar was mentioning right now, he was about packing. God knows everything. He should have restricted you from going out. Are we there? But so if indeed God knows everything, there's no, he knows, so we don't need to ask. Your father knows that you go to school. When you go to school, you pay school fees. Why should you still ask him for school fees? Is that not wickedness? So why do you pray? If God knows everything, he knows that the devil exists, why wouldn't he deal with the devil once and for all and stop disturbing our life? So whenever these questions are asked, we struggle to answer them because we have taken a part of a whole concept, marginalized it to represent the entire concept. Hence, what most of us know about prayer and why we pray is because we need something from God. You know why many people leave Ghana to America and then they start to... When you go to America, the things you pray for here, you don't pray for them. You pray for job. You don't need to pray for job in America. You pray for job. No. When you go to America, are you going to pray for visa? Are you with me? So how can the same Christian people practicing the same faith, one group of people in a different continent have a set of prayer topics, another group of people have a set of prayer topics? So those in America, they prayer, don't pray for visa. An American does not need prayer to come to Ghana. But a Ghanaian can go for 21 days fasting and prayers, all because visa must be released. I pray for you, receive your visa in Jesus' name. Very soon we will start visa receiving ministry, because most of you want to travel out of this country. So those who register for participation, we will take you 20,000 Ghana cedis, and then we will take you through some prayer requests and prayer, then you can get your visa, because this is also another hallelujah. Are you with me? So our orientation about prayer is very wrong. That's why people don't come for prayer meeting. That's why people take prayer for granted. That's why prayer is not appealing to people anymore. It's because the mystery behind prayer has been misrepresented. But today we are going to find that beyond it being a big deal, prayer is a connecting source, a way to remain in a relationship, and the only system to be effective in purpose. Hallelujah. Now, let's enter. I've helped you. So these questions we've asked does not fit into the orientation of prayer life now. That's why we don't like prayer meeting. So if you don't have anything to ask God, why will you even go and pray? There are some people who don't need anything. No, you have not met some before. You've not met people like that before. One day I'll take you to some of them. Okay. There are some people, they don't have needs, because their bank account, their lease account, they have right now, that they are even complaining they don't have money, will be around $1 million. Such a person, what does he need? So what kind of prayer topic do you think Nanado will be praying? God should give him visa or money to build a house, or Ibrahim Ahama will be praying for that kind of prayer topics. I'm not even going beyond them. I mean Ghana here, they are very religious people. Ibrahim Ahama is going to pray for that. Or Despite, God should give him visa or give him scholarship. So do you really get it? So how can a concept be such a way that it is not fit for everybody? You see, when the thing of kingdom becomes only skewed to some people, beneficial to some people, then that is not God. Because prayer is a universal concept. Remember the last scripture we read? The Bible said, for my house shall be called the house of what? Let me explain that, because I wanted to make it the last, but let me explain it. When we talk of house, God does not live in wooden structures. God created man to be his house. So one of the ideology about human person is what? House. That is why spirits always look for human beings to court, possess. So when God says that my house shall be a house of prayer, he was talking about human beings. So anybody who belongs to God
who holds God becomes a place of abode. Jesus said, my Father and I will come and live in you. That is a house. Is that not it? So when that becomes a reason, means that that house is automatically a house of what? So why should prayer be skewed to some people? It means that we have redefined what prayer is. So now let's start. What is the right view we need to have our prayer? Number one, how many of us didn't do RME in GHS and GHS? Let me see. You didn't do RME. Okay. I want to know those who went to school and the school passed through them, not they passed through the school and were helped. Get me a microphone. But listen, what is RME? What is prayer? RME. What did your teacher teach you in RME as prayer? Define prayer. I have it here and it's on record. We are recording you. So that everybody will know. It is possible your RME teacher may listen to this message. So don't disgrace him. Yes. What is prayer?
My teacher said prayer is defined as the communication between man and God.
Man and God. Is she right? Is she right? Oh, clap for her.
Clap, clap, clap.
God. So basic definition of prayer in GHS told us that prayer is a communication between man and a deity. So the moment communication is set in process between human being and a spirit being, what we call that form of communication is what?
Prayer.
Hence, any form of communication we have with a deity is called prayer. Thus, prayer cannot be only about asking for something or all the time, because communication is not only about asking for something. If prayer is communication, then communication is not about asking. Asking is part of communication. Therefore, we cannot dwell on communication and asking as a definition of prayer. Therefore, we have a wrong perception about prayer. So the first idea we need to know, that prayer is a communication. That is all. Communication. Can we continue? If prayer is communication, then what is the simple definition of communication? Communication is the exchange of information between two or more parties, where all sides clearly understand the information that is being exchanged. I had the privilege to do what we call business communication. So when we said there is a communication, I've communicated with you, what it means is that I have exchanged information with you. It's not that I've told you something. No. It means that both of us have engaged ourselves. And there has been an exchange of information. And in that exchange of information, I understood what that information is meant to be. And you also understood what that information is meant to be. So communication is never complete until there is an understanding between both parties. Therefore, prayer is only effective when man engages God and both man and God are on the same understanding level. Are you with me? Are you with me? So prayer, you see, you can, before you call something prayer, it must fit into the definition of communication. You have exchanged information. You spoke to God, God spoke back to you, both of you understood each other and are operating with that information. So you see how many of us have wasted ourselves, our time in prayer. We go for prayer meeting. The question is, the definition I just gave right now, when did you achieve that definition? When can you tell me that the last time you prayed and when you were done praying, information was released and you and both of you, you and God, you had some understanding, level of understanding? Are we there? Are we there? Now, do you get it? Now, one of the most important, or let me say, the important principle of communication is this. Communication serves as the lifeline of every form of relationship. And is also what makes people effective in every purpose. So when I said or when I say that I've communicated with somebody, I have initiated a flow of life between us. And by that communication, purpose can be achieved. Hello? Can I set an example? I want to set a bad example with this. A bad example. You know, before a bad guy will sleep with a girl, are you following me? To establish that principle, do you know communication is very effective? There must be an exchange of information. Do I have a witness in the house here? Miss Mark, you just got born again recently, so you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. So if you do know how it starts, they introduce a life of fornication by the words you say. So you will not call a girl and talk about scriptures. Will you do that? The agenda, the purpose, to be effective in that purpose, you can't talk about scriptures. Because the purpose is that you want to get her into your bed. So you have to be sure that the kind of information that you are releasing to her must be an information that can achieve that purpose. Are you with me? So you talk about things about how beautiful she looks, how you cannot live without her. The scammest word you can ever hear in this world. I can't live without you. You die today. And you see. Caesar, am I right? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's take it slowly. You enter there. Today I want to lay some foundation. So you find out that the information that is being released for purpose to be achieved, the life, to give life to that idea, communication, the word must. So this thing can continue for days, sometimes months. You know, some people can chase a particular lady for 2 years just to have one day, one time occasion with a person. That's how powerful communication is. So what you said, you have communicated with somebody, if you have communicated with God, I am looking forward to this evidence that an information has been released that gives life to a purpose. And there's an agenda at work. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So, prayer as communication can be defined, or must first of all establish an unbreakable relationship with God, and also help man to be effective in God's purpose. So now I'm going to talk about prayer foundationally as an instrument of relationship and for fulfilling of purpose. Now we are going to enter to scriptures. I've laid a foundation. Today when you live here, you find out that the reason why we pray is not because God will give us food. In fact, it is not our primary reason. By the time I'm done with you today, you'll find out that for prayer to be very effective for you, for the reasons why we pray is because we want to stay in relationship with God and exercise dominion. And indeed, if you are a person who prays, these two things must be seen in your life. Number one, somebody who has a relationship with God, and somebody who exercises dominion. Check everybody in the Bible and every living man who prayed. These two things are. No wonder that the first time prayer was mentioned, it was a friend of God who was called to prayer. The word prayer. Abraham, he said, go to him, he's a prophet, and he will pray for you. Our orientation about prayer is so wrong. That's why people can pray, and yes, you can't see anything of God in their life. I said, the measure of a true prayer life is that there is a relationship with God, and there's an exercise of dominion. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. So, how do we prove this? I want to prove it to you in scriptures. Don't forget the team. Connected to source. Okay. Remaining in relationship. Effective in purpose. Genesis chapter 2. Sorry, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We don't read it. We don't go there. We're going to read it. Genesis established that God created man out of his very essence. Follow me very well. How true is that prayer is the lifeline of relationship? Number one, Genesis established that God created man out of his very essence. When we talk of essence, we're talking of out of his very self. And because he created man out of his very self, two things was that the formation of man. Number one, likeness of God. Number two, image of God. God did so because God wanted to have relationship with man. That is the ability to exchange love. No wonder that when Jesus came on earth and they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? What did he say in Matthew chapter 12, verse 13? Let's read. The essence of man, the essence of creation, man, God created man, is because he wanted to establish a relationship with him. And in that relationship, the product of that relationship is exchange of love. Let's read. So the greatest commandment in the Bible is what? Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Let's read. Then said he to them, the man, 30, 30, 30. Is it Matthew chapter 12, verse 30? Check for me. Is it? No, I wanted, thou shalt love the Lord your God. Give me that scripture. I think I miss you. Is it Matthew chapter 30? Check for me. Hallelujah. Is there anybody who can quickly get it for me? Where is that scripture? The greatest commandment. What? 22 what? Okay. Are we there? Matthew chapter 22. 34. 30 what? Let's go to the verse 35. Follow me. The essence of man living is because God created man for relationship. And that relationship is an exchange of love. Now watch. The greatest man said, then one of them, which was a lawyer, who came to him, legalistic person, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? The greatest command. What is the commandment in the law? Yeah? What did he say? Do you know that when we talk of the greatest commandment, the point you want to talk about that the most important thing, the most very essential reason. What is the greatest commandment in the Constitution of Ghana? Yes. Who knows? We all don't know. So what lawyer comes, you ask him. There's a greatest commandment in the Constitution of Ghana. Yes. Now, let's watch. That means that to everything on this earth, I listen to me. The very most important thing that every man must subscribe to is this word. What did he say? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Not only your heart. The heart is the representation of the heart, the spirit. Do you know that? Are you with me? Do you know that? Do you know that the heart is the representation of the spirit? So you shall love the God with what? All your heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So the everything of you. Why? Because God created man for relationship. And the relationship is a product of exchange of love. The extent I love you defines the kind of relationship I have with you. The way I love my wife is not the way I love you. True or yes? And it was not only man that who loves. John chapter 3 verse 16. We found out that for God so love. Are you with me? So man was created for the exchange of love, relationship. So how is this relationship maintained? Are you following me? Good. So God created mankind in his own image so love could be freely given and received between creator and created. The only reason man is the only being that can fellowship with God is that God made man out of his own essence. Goat cannot fellowship with God. Goat. Trees cannot fellowship with God. Even angels, they don't have fellowship. Angels are mandated, and are you following me? But it's only man. It's only man that God created to have that mandate to fellowship with him. And the product of fellowship is what? Love is being exchanged. So the question is, how is this relationship sustained? Are you with me? That is why he identified himself as our father, which established a pattern of relationship. Now, this is where the whole thing is. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and what? Daughters, says the Lord. Because relationship was the idea God had to have with man, his first representation and the way he presented himself first to man is what? A father. Because a father and a child is an automatic relationship. It's something you cannot change it till death do you what? Even death cannot even do you apart in terms of that relationship. If your father died, you still have connection to him as your father. So because relationship was the idea, how did God maintain that relationship? Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. You said that, you found out the Bible said, in the cool of the day, God comes and speak with man. When he speaks, what does that mean? Is that not communication? Is that not communication? Is that not communication? So for the purpose of relationship to continue and exist, God came down to speak to man. Because that's the reason he created man. That is where prayer is. That's how prayer started. So in God's idea of creating man, he already had prayer in mind. Communication. So prayer was not after man fell. Prayer was part of God's idea in creating man. Because he created man to fellowship with. He created man to have relationship with him. And the only way they can do that is what? When there's an exchange of what? Information. Because relationship is the essence of prayer. Are you following me? When Jesus was asked to teach the model of prayer, what was the first thing he said? Our Father. You see, we take certain words in the Bible so lightly. We think that they are just said for sin's sake. Why didn't he say our Lord? Why didn't he say Elohim? Why didn't Jesus say, are you following me? Because there were various things that he could have used to represent God. He could have said the Almighty, King of Kings. Is that not it? But when he was asked, teach us the model of prayer, what was the first thing that Jesus said? He said, our Father. You know what he was trying to tell you? Is that prayer, by essence, begins with what? Relationship. Let's continue. It is out of this relationship that he meets our needs, attend to our desires, which is a primary responsibility of every responsible father. Matthew chapter 7 verse 9. Now I'm going to show you how God can attend to your needs. That visa request. It is not because you pray for visa. It is because that visa can be born out of relationship when it's a need. Now listen to what he said. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread will give him a stone? Continue. Or if he asks a fish will he give him a serpent? Continue. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. Did you hear that? If evil men understand the principles of gifts, what do God need visa for? We have wasted our time to pray for irrelevant things in this kingdom. People have had stomach ulcer. Pray for irrelevant things. Not knowing that, just understanding that the essence of prayer is relationship. Our Father first. And as a responsible father, evil men know how. See, if you have what it takes to take your child outside this country, won't you do it? Oh, let's be realistic here. So if you have what it takes to buy a car, I heard of a story where one man of God who is very wealthy bought, is it Range Rover for a 5-year-old daughter on her birthday. I think it's Bushiri, right? He did that. Did you hear of Dangote's granddaughter celebrating a birthday? Did you remember? Do you hear of what happened at that birthday? Everybody in here. Imagine what would be the gift for that young girl. Granddaughter. If you evil men know how to give good things. So the question is, that's why I ask you that, if God knows everything, you get a whole thing. So it is so wrong to approach God with the asking mentality. Your mind says, see, you don't understand communication. Let's teach you. That's why they came to Jesus and teach us to pray. Because the people know that this thing is an act of communication. And you cannot be effective when you are not taught how to communicate. So that is why prayer will teach you to, the mystery of prayer is it will help you to remain in relationship, because out of relationship was the needs of people met. He said, if you evil men not give good, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven do what? Give good things to them that out ask him. Now continue. So you see, the asking was not the idea, but the giving is the mental idea. Won't you give? So now the last verse. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye should, ye will that men should do to you, do ye even also. Is that the last verse? The next verse. That is verse. What direct was that verse 10? Go back to verse 10. Okay, verse 11. Verse 12. Okay. If men know how to give good things, how much more Father in heaven? So the thing is, God is giving to you because he's a father. He see himself as your father. You see, and when you are able to establish that relationship with God, that is when he supply. Do you know that because he's my father, I can ask things from him for you? Some of you, you are benefiting from our relationship with God. It's not because you have a relationship with God. The day we will stop asking our father for help for you, there you see. Yes, that is the truth. Some of us, we are just benefiting from people's relationship with God. Because it is a father who gives. You say, Father. The model of prayer started with Father. Relationship. So you can see, when you get that level with God, when you get to that level with God, then you know that indeed God is a giver. You know that God is a giver. I pray for you that our mindset of prayer will change. That is why our mindset of prayer will change. You know, because of that, in our approach of prayer to God, give me John chapter 15, verse 9. Listen to what Jesus said. John chapter 15, verse 9. I'm just laying foundation. When we get to the two approaches to prayer, you understand this very aspect, relationship. As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue. And if ye keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. When you continue, tell that now, therefore, whatsoever thing he asks, you shall what? There's a wrong teaching about prayer. There's a wrong perception we are having about prayer. And we think that prayer is just get up and go and ask. I said some of you, that is why when you pray on your own, you don't see result too. Because you don't understand the mystery. The mystery is that prayer starts with relationship. That level of relationship you have with God will determine your supply of your needs. I pray for you. You will not be like people who waste their energy and pray for 10 years and remain the same. Remember the question I asked last week? That somebody came to me and asked me that, why is that people who serve God and when they need God, serve God has not come to the question is, why did he know you as a son? The question, has he been your father? Because some of you, God has remained as your master. The Bible spoke about a man who had two sons, and one of the sons was so wise enough and saw that he was his father. Therefore, he went and placed the man as a son. He went and squandered it and came back and still had access to what was left. But there was an elder brother in the house who never saw the father as his father and lived with him master, master, and never had anything. Now I was complaining. Said everything was yours. Did you? You know, people are living in church thinking that you will pray. God is not answering. Ask the question. I do you have a relationship? Do you have a relationship? Oh. Therefore, this suggests that without prayer, communication, that's prayer, communication, man has no relationship with God. That is, man is dead to God, though alive. This is where I want to dwell on very well and help him. Those of you who have been deceived that prayer is not necessary. Today, I want to let you know that if you don't have a prayer life, you are dead to God. Can I give you a practical example? Also, if you want to cut ties with somebody, what do you initiate? You stop talking to the person. Even though the person is alive, the person is dead to you. If I want to cut you out of my life, I want you dead in my life, what I do is I cut communication. And what is communication with man and God? It's what we call it, prayer. The very moment man ceases to pray, you cease to live. So, to God, you are not alive. That's why Jesus said men ought to always pray, because the breath, your spiritual breath that you take in, the breath you take in every day is prayer. The day you don't pray, you are not alive. That is why you find out that the day you don't spend time with God, that is the day you are so sensitive to the flesh. Check right now. The day that you got so angry and insulted that guy was the day you forgot to have time and pray. Because as long as there is no communication with God, you are not alive. So in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 7, he said that you must pray always. Jesus said, men ought to pray and not to faint. Because the day you stop praying, you faint. I pray for you. You see, if all you know about prayer is to ask things for God, I'm telling you that the day you don't pray, you are dead. The devil is just looking for a second of your absent life in prayer. And you see the thing you show. See, some of us, let me help you. The devil does not come to destroy you at a go. He looks for your weak points and sow seeds. One of the places he sows seeds is the day you don't pray. Where men slept. When men fainted, the evil man came and sowed. I pray for you. You see, we have taken prayer for granted. You see, that's why we go for prayer meeting. People don't care. People can see, some people can live for even a week and they have not prayed. And they are very fine because they go to work 24/7. That nursing job will kill you. You are on your way. You are dying. You are on your way. You will very soon receive your mortals. Be there and be saying that my boss said, my boss this. You are dying, oh, my brother. You are dying, oh. You wake up, you go to work, come back and sleep. Woke up the following day. Ah, you are dead to God. You are dead to God. That is why those who are not even Christians understand that the day they don't connect to their deity, they are finished. That's why they don't joke. Have you seen a fetish priest who doesn't pour libation a day? Have you seen a Muslim who forsake their prayer? But Christians, because we are told that prayer is asking God, prayer is visa, prayer is breakthrough, prayer is killing witches. We think that because we don't have any witch to kill, we don't have any visa application, what we need, we've gotten it, we have gotten our marriage. So we think that is all about prayer. So we so lazy. We don't see the reason to labor in prayer. I pray for you. See, it is dangerous to be there to God, though. Hey! When there's no communication, you are dead. So if I want you to be dead to me, I can't. And this is the truth about it. God in his wisdom created everything in this time realm to have a place that they are self-sufficient from. Do you know that man is not self-sufficient? Should I prove it to you? You'll get there. Now, so therefore, relationship is very vital to our sustenance in this time realm. And for us to maintain relationship, there must be daily communication. That is, for every moment, we are connected to the Father. That's why Jesus came and gave us a practical prayer life. Jesus was known to be a man of what? Prayer. That is why I said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Because the only way that house can stay useful to the master and not be dead house is that house is praying. To what extent do you pray? If all about your prayer orientation is to ask for things from God, you are wasting your time. Now, when this relationship is being initiated and being sustained, purpose is being born. Now, let's quickly go through purpose. It's very important that we understand that relationship that God established with mankind is not separate from God's purpose for mankind. Rather, relationship is foundational to purpose. What is the purpose for mankind? We have only one purpose. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Let them have dominion. Our purpose on earth is to what? Have dominion. God created man with two things in mind. Purpose and relationship. Relationship is to stay in contact. Have a family. People with him. Father and children. That was God's idea. But there was a purpose to this relationship. That as children of him, you will share in his glory and his authority. That is what we call dominion. So because he wants us to share in his glory and his authority, when he created us, he didn't let us remain in heaven. He extended his kingdom to earth. He created earth so that we will live on earth and then we can have that enjoyment that he enjoys in heaven. That is exercising what? Dominion. Purpose. Therefore, God instituted this purpose that man would rule earth. This was so serious with this was a serious thing to God that to the extent that, you know what God did? He has to find a legal system to make this possible. What is that legal system? That anybody who's not born by a woman has no right. Even he, God, has no right to exercise dominion here until man gives him permission. Now, this is where the problem is. When God gave man dominion, right? That is the ability to be creative, rule, decide, do what he wants to do. Man thinks that man is self-sufficient. No. Dominion is only possible when we are connected to source. Now, this was what one of the principles God instituted on earth. And this is the principle. That for anything to be fruitful and able to make impact, it must be connected to what? Source. How do fishes survive and multiply? They are in the what? The sea. Right? How are plants able to bear fruit? They are in the what? Good. So man, where do you belong? Where do you belong? God. John chapter 15 verse 5. What did Jesus say? John 15 verse 5. I am the what? The vine. Ye are the what? Branches. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much what? Fruit. For without me, therefore, God never created man to be self-sufficient. So the only way man can be able to be sufficient and impactful is that you need him. That brings you back to what? Relationship. If I don't have a need with you, do you think I'll be in a relationship with you? Hello? If I don't have need of you, do you think I'll be in a relationship with you? You are chasing that lady because you need her. You need her for something. You need that brother for something. For love. It's not good for man to be alone. The very day I find no use of you, you're out of my life. God said, without me, you can do nothing. So, you find out that man is able to exercise dominion to be effective when he's in God. Or, let me put it this way. Man is effective when he's connected to a deity. Man. No man has ever, in this time realm, been very effective without connected to a deity. Whether God or the devil. Because we are never self-sufficient. We are never self-what? So now, prayer, which is communication, keep us to our source. Now, I hope you are getting it now. Then help us to remain in what? Our relationship. Because there's always communication. And finally, what does prayer do? Make us effective in what? Our purpose, dominion. Because as long as we are in contact with him, we are what? Effective. I pray for you. Oh, Jesus. I am about to wrap up. And this is a very important part for me. Because God created us with a purpose, that is to work with him, not to work for him. He made it that until you are with him, you cannot be effective. You see, there's a difference between a servant working for the master and a son working for the father. How many of you have ever heard that somebody working in the father's company is I'm working for my father? Do you make that statement? What do they say? I'm working with. But if it's not your father's company, I'm working for this man. Why do you say I'm working with? Because it also belongs to you. You share. So papa boka, the house will suffer. If your father is profitable, you will enjoy. So we, because of the flow of purpose that we will share in his glory and exercise dominion, we work with him. And to work with somebody, it is based on what? Relationship. Working with you means that I share the same idea. I know your next step. I have the understand the philosophy of what you're doing. So we are working together. We are partners. But the Bible says we are joint heirs. So you cannot be effective if you are working with your father and you don't have a good relationship with your father. So therefore, when true prayer is ministered, I'm summarizing, follow this one. When somebody is effective in prayer, the person produces two things. That is, spiritual dominion and time dominion. That's the first thing. The person has dominion over time and the spiritual realm. Number two, the person has relationship with God. Let me tell you something. If you are very prayerful, you need not to tell people. People will know that you and God, you are connected. You see, that is the point where people walk to you and say that, please, can you pray with me or pray for me? When you are not getting to that point that people will come to you and say, please, can you pray with me? Your prayer life has not hit. You are not truly praying. Because people can see that you have a relationship with a deity. Because people can go to Malam, fetish priest, and request that there could be some kind of leverage. Do you know why you go to them? Because they have a relationship. Remember what I said in the beginning. I said some of you have received certain things because of relationships some of us have with God. So the definition of a praying person, a person who has become a house of prayer, is that that person has a relationship with God. And that one, you don't need to say, people will see it. I said, one of the things you said, people will come to you and say, please, can you pray with me? Or pray for me? If you have been a Christian till now and people don't walk to you and ask that you pray for them or pray with them, not those kind of funny, no. I mean, people will call you with serious matters. I'm saying that your prayer life has not met the real genesis of prayer. You are wasting your energy. You have not started prayer. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. See, it is my prayer that, see, you know, because prayer is a mystery. When it is wrongly done, it has its own consequences. So anybody who is very prayerful, people see his relationship with God very clear. Elijah is an emblem of what prayer. And the Bible said that Elijah could just sit down and said, according to my word. How, see, if you don't have that kind of relationship with God, how can you order heaven? Oh man, no lava see ya. You see, he made fun of them that maybe your God was asleep. And he said that, Lord, let them know that I know you and you also know me. Jesus also made the same statement. He said, Father, it is time to glorify your son because I've glorified you. See, there is a point. Let me show you one thing that baffles my mind about Jesus, was how he was able to multiply bread. What was his prayer topic? He said, Father, thank you. Father, thank you. It is an expression of a person who has a relationship with Father. He has been communicating with him to the point that he knows that only his voice, when he said, Father knows what the son wanted. How many of you can say, Father, thank you, and things will change? We have been deceived, led on to pray useless prayers, wasted our fastings and our time, thinking that we are doing something, but out of our prayer closet, people cannot even smell God close to us. I pray for you. Your life will be defined like Elijah. Said Elijah was a man subject to life passing, but he prayed. And why they say he prayed is because people saw a man with a relationship with God. The prayer Elijah prayed was so funny. He said, Father, glorify yourself. That was all. And an altar that was soaked with water was leaked up. An altar soaked with water was leaked up. Do you see? People who have relationship with God do the unimaginable things. That's why I can hear the names of people like Archbishop Benson Idahosa. He said, I said, you, they'll sack you. The following day, they sacked the woman from airport. Because it's a TV station, right? Because she refused to air Archbishop Benson Idahosa's message that they don't do Christian programs here. He went to the station and said, are you the person who said that? He said, you have been sacked. I sack you. The following morning, they found something about her and they sacked her. Do you have that authority? Those authorities born out of relationship. And that relationship is because you have been feeding that relationship. There is constant communication, which is prayer. I pray for you. You see, we are heading to a realm that God has to teach us to pray. Well, we will not waste our time. See, some of you can go for prayer meetings, whatever kinds of tongues, 10 hours, and come back, and you can't even command an ant. Because you think prayer is about talking and shouting. If somebody is prayerful, three things. Number one, you see intimacy with God. Number two, you see dominion. Peter was a man like us. But when Peter started subjecting himself, he said, it is not good for us to give ourselves to this business, but we will give ourselves to prayer. What became of Peter? The Bible said it got to a time that Peter's shadow was able to heal the sick. It got to a time that Peter, a man who was crippled at the beautiful gate for over years, he held him, said, what I have, I give you. The man had a so strong relationship with God that he began to share in God's authority and glory that he has, what God has. That is the ability to heal. Oh, did you get what I said? The man was so intimate with God that he said that what I have, I give you. And that was the ability to heal him. Correct error, correct defect. He held him. And the man walked. What do you have? And what are you giving? You said you pray. Today I'm here to challenge you. What has your prayer life produced? What has your prayer life produced? How have you been able to be effective in purpose? Simple program you're offering the investors is beating you down. You sit there and then your lecturers will come and tell you and threaten you and mark you down when you are there. You dare not do that to my paper. Hey, a man who has a relationship with God. There was a king who is a strong womanizer. And one day his womanizing met an error. He went and touched somebody who had a relationship with God. In the night, God said, you are a dead man. Hey, Pharaoh, you are a dead man. For this woman with you is the wife of my friend. You return him plus appeasement. How? See, people are touching you and going scot-free because there's no relationship. That shows that you are not prayerful. See, there is a point where people should touch you and they'll dream. And God said, you are dead. You and your family are dead. You are dead because you touched somebody. And the person woke up from that dream shivering and said, I have to go back and appease this man. There's a realm I'm chasing. A realm where I will mind my business and God will deal with my enemies. That is where I'll be somewhere and somebody will be in the coven calculated to do evil to me and the coven will deal with the person. Say, this name, who asked you to bring this name here? There's a realm I'm chasing that if you mention my name in the coven will catch fire. You will burn alive. That doesn't happen because I talk, because it's a relationship. Because God does not joke with people who are so close to him. He said, they are my apple of my eye. He said, didn't you fear to touch the Lord's anointed? Touch the anointed does not come because, you know, these are people who are connected to God. I said, your prayer life, are you connected to source? Can we trace your prayer life and know that you are connected to God? Because when you meet a fetish spirit, you name Shoma or come. There are people who come and Antoine. When you meet, you know this Antoine. If you come to my hometown, you know that my grandfather was serving Nongokbo, because you see the elements over there. If you provoke us, God's army will come after you. There are people who serve Tikale, and when you meet them, you know, how do people know that you serve God? How have you been able to prove it that you serve God? Christians have been a laughing stock. Because there's no proof, there's no relationship. Why? Because prayer is ineffective. Because our ideology about prayer is not about communication anymore. It is about we always leveraging on God. Let me tell you, most of you, I keep saying this, you are getting what you're getting because somebody have a relationship with God. Pastor Elvis said it last time. Somebody said, I prayed. He said, you didn't pray. I prayed for you. I had a relationship with God and I petitioned God on your behalf. Some of you, what you are going through, let's leave you alone to pray. You see what will happen to you. It's my prayer for you today. Let people meet you and know the God you serve. Let people meet you and know the God you serve. Elisha said unto the king of Israel, let him come and we will show him that there is a God in Israel. Madila Makuseta. A generation must rise whose prayer life will begin to speak volumes. Not because they know how to pray and people will fall under the anointing. But they will pray to the extent that nations will begin to shiver. That kings will begin to fear them. That people recognize, as they recognize fetish priests connected to their idols, recognizing malams connected to false powers, they will recognize that you are connected to God. And Jesus said, glorify thy son. And that is why Elijah could say that if Baal is Baal, let's serve him. And if God is God, let's serve him. Because the man was connected to God. And he could prove God all the time. I came here to tell you that this year God will teach us to pray. We will pray prayers that will be very effective. That witch in your family, she will come and kneel and plead for life. Not because you asked him to die, but because your prayer life is now a relationship with God. That you know that every day without God is a dead life. It's a dead life. You cannot take that risk. And therefore you live in a relationship with him and be effective in purpose. I said you'll be effective in purpose. I see men and women rising to a point of dominion. You will be effective in purpose. Some of you, God has called you to rule this country. I see ministers and MPs over here. I see bank managers, great men of influence. And I said you will fulfill purpose. Ah, David have I found her. And with my holy oil have I anointed him. One character of David was that he was a man of prayer. He said, early will I seek thee. My soul pant for thee as the deer pants for the waters. And the Bible said in the book of Acts that David, after he has served his own people according to the will of God, you will not miss the will of God, because you will be a man and a woman of relationship. It is time we learn to stay connected to God. The mystery of our prayer and why Jesus said men ought to pray was because prayer make you connected to your source. Remain in relationship, effective in purpose. So if you want to see a man alive, see how connected he is to God. If you want to see a man in a relationship, see how God take a stand for that man. If you want to see a man effective in purpose, see how that man extend power and dominion over his territory. I said, whatever dominated your life in 2023, this year as we journey through prayer, you will dominate it in the name of Jesus. You joke with your life. Joke with your life. Eh? Call for prayers, you don't pray. Wake up in the morning and you are in a hurry to go. I said, you did die. You are dead. If I say you are dying, Christ, you are dead. For that whole day, you are dead. God, that you will not get anything from heaven. You are on your own. Heaven is shut that day to you. Be serious with your prayer life. See, that is why most of the things that the enemy is working on is against the prayer life of the believer. It is only when you want to pray that you are very tired. You know that it is only when you want to pray that you remember the things you want to do that you've forgotten. Have you been there before? Oh, you can be at a worship service, nothing of that sort. But then when we say, rise up and let's pray, the first 5 minutes, you remember everything that you have forgotten to do. That's why prayer is not easy, because the devil knows the mystery behind prayer. Now, when people learn to pray, they will have a good relationship with God. And when they have a relationship with God, authority is born. And dominion is something that you cannot deny them. Hence, true prayer life gives you six things. Number one, true prayer life builds intimacy with God. True prayer life builds intimacy with God. Number two, a true prayer life brings honor to God's nature and character. And that was what Elijah proved. That when God is here, nobody, the character of God is that when he's here, nobody has power over him, because he's the omnipotent. When he appears, everybody's impotent. Baal was impotent that day, and it took a man of prayer to prove it. Number three, it caused respect for God's integrity. God's integrity was at stake until Daniel prayed. God spoke and said, after 70 years, the people's captivity will be what? Overturned. But since there was no man who had relationship with God, they were there. And God's integrity was challenged. And Daniel began to pray. And God's integrity was what? Protected. The reason why Ghana is what it is, because Christians are not praying anymore. We pray for visa. We pray for foolish things. And people are mocking the integrity of God. We say revival is coming. Where is the revival? We say God is powerful. Where is he? Because our prayer orientation cannot, that kind of prayer we are praying, cannot produce what we are talking about. Number 4. Enable belief in God's word. There is nothing that makes people believe God's word when they see prayer effectively working. When we say God can heal, it is not before we read the Bible. They must see evidence. To what the extent to which people believe the word of God is a reflection of how they pray. Because when you pray, you believe that the word of God is true. Number 5. It causes trust in him, affirms his will and purposes. When prayer is effective, the will of God is always done. So Jesus' model of prayer said that thy will be done. When people are very effective in prayer, you see that the will of God is constantly done. You don't miss the will of God. You don't miss the will of God. You see, the will of God for this nation, it will take Christians. See, we can hear and call ourselves Christians. All God will enthrone a president for us. Because Ghana is not a Christian country. It's a democratic country. We Christians have to decide whether we are ready to let God rule or not. When we are silent, God has nothing to say. You sit here 2024. Don't give yourself to prayer. All courts will enthrone a king for you and he'll teach you a lesson. Everybody's fighting for that place. You think it's bad? See, you can send a believer to that place, and if that person is not enthroned by God, that person will become Adolf Hitler of our time. Hitler was a Christian, raised in the church. Last one, appropriate God's promises. Appropriate God's promises. Therefore, true prayer life appropriate God's promises. Church, I want to conclude with this statement that no human has ever risen without a relationship with the deity. Because the Bible said, he that is coming from above is above all. I don't know how far you want to go in life, but I'm here to tell you today that one of the mysteries of prayer is that it connects you to source. It maintains relationship with that source and make you effective in purpose. Your certificate cannot make you effective in purpose. Money cannot do that. Every man who has been effective in the purpose for which they are accomplishing is connected to what? A deity. Recently, there was one artist who was trending last year because they said there was a Baphomet image that was shown whilst he was performing. I hope you know who I'm talking about. Is it Remy or what was the name? Rima or whatever. There's a name they call him. What is the name? Rima. And people were screaming and shouting that the guy is now Illuminati and everything. And I asked myself, how can that young man rise to that kind of pinnacle if he's not connected to a deity? There's a young man in Ghana here rising. Another, he was also attacked. In fact, there were twice an evidence proving that he was connected to a Baphomet. He came to defend it, said it's on God. Which God? Could he define that God he's talking about? The fact that we say the word God does not mean it's the God you serve. God is a name. The character of that God will determine whether it's the God we know. That's why in the new commandment, God said that thou shalt serve no other gods. If there are no other people with that name, God will not say you shouldn't. God will not warn us. You want to rise up. That colleague of yours already know how to call saint. You want to compete with him at the office. That sister you are competing with over the man God has given you, she has gone to somewhere to do Bidianko. It will surprise you that God will betroth you to a very godly man or a good man, and somebody will use another realm to snatch him. I pray for you. See, today I came to correct that prayer notion you have. No man has been able to conquer without a deity. So I pray for you today. You see, you can connect. You see, that's what I see. If you want to rise, I find a deity. If you not serve God, that's what Joshua. I like Joshua. He gives options. If you want to serve God, serve God. If you don't want to, look for another thing that can help you. Life, you can't be neutral. So if you want to really rise up as a Christian in this kingdom, prayer, the mystery behind it is that it is a daily necessity for daily survival. So Archbishop Duncan Williams in his own words said that prayer is a daily necessity for daily victory. I pray for you. Don't skip prayer because you are in a hurry to go to work. Don't skip prayer because you are too tired. Because remember this very well. Let this voice of mine echo in your ears. The day you didn't pray, you are dead. You died that day. You are dead. And the devil just need that day to sow. There are many battles people are fighting now because they were lazy in their prayer life. You see, let me say this funny thing in conclusion. Have you seen the trend currently that is happening now in Ghana? People are rising up or growing up from SHS University, and they are being told that forget your Christian life as Christians. You went to study, you went to school. Are you following? Now, when they are done with school, they come out of school and then they face the real world. Then the devil begins to teach them what it means to survive in this world. And now they now try to go back and correct the error they committed, and they are not able to correct it. So do you know what happens? Do you know why we had a lot of men of God, false men of God rising up? Because people, when they had the opportunity to build a relationship with God, they didn't build a relationship with God. So now they have to leverage on others' relationship for access. I'm not saying that going to a man of God to pray for you is wrong. But if that is the norm, what you are trying to say is that you have no relationship with God. And that is clear that you don't pray. You don't have a prayer life. And if that is so, I tell you, you will buy Milo, you will buy Shemima, you will sow seeds. In fact, you will sell your car and house because you're bad job. They're bad job. Because they'll tell you, do you know what they suffer to go to Susu? Because you refuse, ubechia. What breaks my heart is that they don't get it. So people have sowed seeds, and they have sowed seeds on barren land. I pray for you that something that you have capacity to handle, you will not skip process and jump process and pay for the price later. See, do you know what happened? When they were in their SHS and university and they were busy with their book studying, the devil was also busy sowing. So he started sowing against their marriage. So they will marry part-time boxer, part-time Christian. That is our sisters. Do you know a part-time boxer, part-time Christian? When you get to the house, he's a boxer. When you come out, he's a Christian. Part-time boxer. Why? Because when they had to build a relationship with God and have the eyes of God to be able to see through who this man was, they didn't do that. That is how come you entered that office, and that office is your predicament. I pray for you. Rise to your feet. I don't know what you've heard today, but there is one thing I want you to go with. Rise to your feet.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Lord.